just like heaven does. We thank you for your presence, Father God. Thank you for saving us from a devil's hell. Thank you, Father God, for redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the power of your word on tonight. Thank you that your word is quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul, spirit, joint, and marrow. Your word is a discerner of the thoughts and the very intents of our heart, Father. Your word's dripping with anointing tonight. It is our intention to apply faith to the mighty word of God. You said in Hebrews, but unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. That's not going to be us tonight, Father God, because as we hear your word, we're going to mix your word with faith. And Father, we release you to speak to us that which you have individually. Speak a word into every heart, every person listening to this message, those listening live stream or over the internet or through some other venue listening to this message, speak a word to every one of them. Speak a word to everyone here in this live service, Father God. These are your sheep. We are all your sheep, and this is your pasture. So feed your people, Father, from the power of your word. Father, if correction is needed, then correct us. If instruction is needed, instruct us. If direction is needed, give us direction. Whatever that moment requires, Father, we release you to give us through your word tonight. We eagerly listen, ready to act on what you tell us to do. And then we thank you for the good Holy Ghost tonight. He's the great helper tonight. He's our great helper. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's the one giving us the unction, giving us the utterance in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you for the greater one on the inside. And thank you for the great Holy Ghost, our helper in this place tonight. He's our comforter, our counselor, our standby, our guide, our advocate. Hallelujah. He's our truth giver. Hallelujah. So we thank you for the good Holy Spirit in here tonight. And Father, we thank you for blessing our pastors, strengthening them, helping, using them. Father, anointing them where they are, keeping them and those with them safe. And then, Father God, for all that you shall do in this place, we already give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. We give you all the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, shake one more person's hand and then you can have your seat. Praise God. Hallelujah. How many came expecting tonight? Hallelujah. In the early 70s, growing up as a kid, and in between baseball and football season, a group of us kids in the neighborhood had been watching karate movies, and so we all went to our parents with the same request, and that is we all wanted to take karate. But karate was expensive. You had to buy the gi, you had to buy the lessons and all that, and just like my parents told me, then my friends, all their parents told them, you're not going to be able to do you. If you start this, you're going to have to complete it, blah, blah, blah. And, oh, yeah. Well, we'd been watching karate movies. It looked easy, you know, and on the movies, Bruce Lee was, and all that. And so we thought karate was going to be like that. And we had all the sound effects down. And so we were wondering how much harder could it be than the sound effects. And then our parents let us take karate, and we met a man named Katsuya Kasaka. And Katsuya Kasaka convinced us the first class that karate was going to be a whole lot more than sound effects. Katsuya told us we was going to run outside on rocks. We thought that was pretty cool. But he said we were going to run outside. He didn't tell us about the rocks. He said we were going to run outside, and we thought that was cool. That's, you know, that we'd seen that in the karate movies. And but Katsuya, he found some rocks for us to run over, and we was on a. Back in those days, I'm sure it's karate's a lot different today, but back in those days, they could hit you, they could beat you. Katsuya had a big bamboo stick, and if you did anything wrong, pow, he hit you with that stick. Katsuya had us in class one Saturday morning, I'll never forget, and Katsuya, he said, you know, he had a heavy accent. Katsuya said, look us late, and he meant look straight, and he meant look straight.
Katsuya, you instantly had interpretation of Katsuya's accent because he had that piece of bamboo to help you interpret everything Katsuya was saying. He yelled out, "Look us late!" And we were in this stance for, you know, about 10 minutes, seemed like forever. And he was walking up and down the line waiting to catch somebody who blinked. And if he caught you blinking, he'd hit you with that bamboo, knock you right out of line. And this poor unfortunate fellow at the beginning of the line, he had a case of flatulence. He released some gas. He cut the cheese. And there was a ripple effect that began to happen. And Katsuya had already told us, "Look us late." And we were in that stance. And the guy next to him held it as long as he could. And he started laughing. And Katsuya went, bam, knocked him out of line. He came to the next person. He just waited with that piece of bamboo. Bam, knocked him out of line. He came to the next person. I'll never forget that day. Katsuya, when he got to me, I was biting my lip to keep from laughing. I almost bit a hole in my lip. But I had seen how hard he knocked those people out of line. And oh man, Katsuya, boy, oh boy, he meant real karate. He wasn't talking about any sound effects, play stuff. But our parents made us take it. We all wanted to quit after the first week. And we all had to stay. And I can't say I really learned anything from class, but I could fake it real good. That class helped me in one specific situation. I was about to get into a fight with a guy. His name was Neil Heineman. Neil was much bigger than me. We were in the same class, but Neil was real tall, real strong, bigger than me. And you know, to be honest, that day, Neil probably would have whipped me that day. You know, and I don't know, we were over at the kid Richard's house, and we were in the yard, and Neil and I were about to get into some fight over something, and Neil threw a punch at me. That punch barely missed my head, but I felt the wind. I felt the wind of Neil's punch, and I determined right then in my mind, this probably is not a good idea for me. But I didn't want to just, you know, what we would call back in the day, I didn't want to punk out. And so I told Neil, I got into my karate stance. I told Neil, "I'm about to put it on you." He said, "What is that?" I said, "I've been taking karate." And I said, "I'm going to put it on you now." And so my friend Rich Wiesner, he helped me out. Rich said, he told Neil, he said, "Neil, he takes karate and he will hurt you." And Neil said, "He will?" I said, "I got a card right here, back here in my pocket. I got a card in my wallet that shows I take karate." And Neil said, "Can I see it?" I pulled it out and showed it to him. He said, "I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I must excuse you. I'm so sorry." He lost all his confidence because I was faking and fronting like I knew some karate. Sad but true. I knew the terminology. I even had a gi. I even went to where they practice karate. But it would be wrong of me to say that I knew any karate. And yet, in that instance, I was able to fake like I knew karate. To Neil, I looked like I knew karate. To Neil, I sounded like I knew karate. And that was enough to cause him to lose all his confidence. And that same thing happens in a much different, less funny way in the realm of faith. Because so often in our day and age in which we live, people sound like they're in faith. People act like they're in faith. People talk like they're in faith. But just because somebody sounds like it and talks like it, it doesn't mean they're always in faith. Sometimes people are as phony about faith as I was about the karate. Our message tonight is called The Confidence of Faith. The Confidence of Faith. And if you'll go with me to Hebrews chapter 13, we'll start there. Hebrews chapter 13, The Confidence of Faith. Look at somebody and say that title, The Confidence of Faith. Look at one more person and say that title, the confidence of faith. Real faith comes with confidence. And there are many today that seem like they're in faith, and sometimes faith can be, sometimes it can look like faith, and really a person can just be in a self-arrogance. Sometimes cockiness looks like faith. Arrogance looks like faith. But real faith has a confidence to it. Real faith has a Bible confidence that comes with it. And that's what we're talking about tonight, the confidence of faith. Hebrews 13, starting at verse 5, make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. Now, I like that, where the Bible is telling us here about God. It says, he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. That's a good promise. I said, that's a promise right there that we can have real confidence in. We can have Bible confidence in that phrase right there. And the reason is because God himself has already promised that. The Bible says right here, he himself has said. And whenever we find out what he himself has said, talking about the Father God, we can put confidence in what he said. I said, we can have confidence in what he said. Because he's trustworthy. Amen. He's a God who's never failed. He's a God who has a 100% track record. I said, amen. Amen. He's never failed to keep a promise. He's never made a promise and then failed to keep that promise. I said, we can have confidence in it. And the Bible said right here, for he himself has said, he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. When God says something, you can take it to the bank. I said, you can write it down. You can have confidence in it. You might as well rehearse yourself. If God said it, now if God said it, if God said something, you can count on it. You remember over in Genesis, God said, let there be light. You know what happened? There was light. When God commanded the earth to appear and the land to separate from the water, you know what happened? The land separated from the water. When he said, let there be day and let there be night, you know what happened? There was day and night. Amen. When he said, let there be a heaven and let there be an earth, there was a heaven and earth. He spoke. He spoke and it happened. I said, he's never failed to come through on a single promise. That's right. And when he speaks, see, the key is now we have to be sure what he said. If we can get something that we sure enough know God said, we can put our confidence in that. I said, faith has a confidence to it. But the thing is, we have to be sure that what it is we're believing, what it is that we're saying and confident in, we have to be sure God said that. I said, amen. I said, it's good to be sure that God said it. The reason that we can have confidence in this scripture, because the Bible said he himself has already said, I will never leave you or forsake you. You don't have to worry about being alone. You don't have to worry about being abandoned. You don't have to worry about fear tonight, because he himself has already said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And let me just say while I'm on this, because, you know, there are times, I'm sure all of us can account in our lives, when you thought the Lord said something, but the Lord didn't really say that. Can I put us all at ease? Is there anybody here you willing to raise your hand and say, you know, there was a time I thought the Lord said something, but he really didn't say that? Okay, look, see, that's everybody. And so. When we come to those situations where we thought the Lord said something, but we realize he didn't say it, hey, just back up and say, Lord, I'm sorry about that. And then find something that he did say and put your confidence right in that bucket. I said, amen. Don't let that slow you down a bit. But back up enough to admit, you know what? I thought that was God and that wasn't the Lord. That's all right. I said, you're human. I said, sometimes we make mistakes. You say, what kind of faith preacher is that? I said, we human making mistakes. But if we'll remember, hey, because there's nothing. See, why are you saying that? Because sometimes people feel like the Lord said something and then the Lord shows them, I didn't say that. And then they go on acting like the Lord said that. And there's nothing worse than someone then. See, that's not confidence. That's arrogance. Now, when God shows you something and he says, no, I didn't do that. You know what's required there is repentance. That's where we repent. Say, Lord, I'm sorry about that. I wish I had one amen. That's where we repent. Say, Lord, I'm sorry about that. I missed it there. And if you think you're going to go through this life and never miss it, you are sadly mistaken. Unless your name is Jesus. Sometimes we make a mistake. But what we should do is endeavor to learn. If we make a mistake, look, there's no crime in making a mistake. Admit it, repent, but then listen, learn from it. Wish I had one amen there. I'm doing a better job teaching than y'all are saying amen. And so here God said, the Bible says, he himself has said, remember he said to Abraham in Genesis 15, he told Abraham, he said, Abraham, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless your descendants. Abraham said, I don't have a child. I don't have a child. I don't have any descendants for you to bless me through. And Abraham said, there's someone in my household that you could bless, you know, in lieu of me. And God said, no. He said, the blessing's going to come through you. He said, the blessing's going to come through your body. Genesis 15. And God made him a promise. And it seemed so unlikely. And there are times, my brother and sister, when God, he can say something to you and it can seem so unlikely. You remember the scriptural account when Sarah heard it, she laughed. She said, that's impossible. They considered their ages of their body. They were beyond childbearing years. But the Bible says this about Abraham in Romans 4:17, that he began to call those things that be not as though they were. He began to develop a confidence in the word of God. The Lord spoke a rhema word to him. The Lord gave him a word, and Abraham developed a confidence in that word. And he lost sight of his body. He lost sight of Sarah's body. He lost sight of their ages. He lost sight of all the people who said that can never happen. He lost sight of people saying that is beyond the realm of reason. And you know what? He had confidence in what God said. And he kept that. He began to call those things that be not as though they were. And when God speaks to you, he will tell you things that seem impossible. He'll tell you things that people around you will not believe. He'll tell you and show you things that people said that's impossible. Oh, but when God says it, it'll come to pass at last. I said, hey, if you'll stand on his word, it'll come to pass at last. And when you get a word from the Lord, oh, God gets glory when he defies all the odds and does what nobody thought he could do. And here come Isaac on the scene, just like God promised. Then again, you read over in Galatians 3:29, and it said, but if you are in Christ, if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Amen. So we all get in on that. But here in Hebrews, for he himself has said, God has said so many things to you, whether or not you realize it. Sometimes people say, well, you know, if I just had a word, brother, if you just speak a word over me, just speak a word. You got your Bible? Crack that book open and God will speak a word to you. You said, I opened up the Bible. I didn't get nothing. You didn't stay in there long enough. Keep on reading. I said, if you'll keep reading, a rhema word will rise from the pages of scripture and God will begin to speak to your heart about you, about your situation. Wish I had one amen in here. And then when we do what Abraham did, Oh, man, he began to call those things that be not as though they were. He himself hath said, he has said a lot to you. He has said a lot about you. He has said a lot to you. The thing about it is, the further we are away from the book, the less time we spend in the book, the less aware we become of what God has said. Isn't that something? You want to be aware of what God is saying to you, what God is saying about you, you've got to get in the book. You've got to make time to spend time in his word. But if you spend time in his word, oh, he will confirm. He will cause the pages of scripture to come alive to you. He himself has said, be anxious for nothing. And everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And then the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart. And thank God, guard your mind in Christ Jesus. He said that. I said, he said that. And you can have confidence in that. And see, if there's something troubling you tonight, there's something worrying you tonight, over in Isaiah 26:3, he said, I'll keep them in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me. Over in John 14:27, Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give unto you. So let not your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid. He said that to you. And see, when you begin to develop confidence in his words, it'll change everything. And I'm not talking about arrogance tonight. I'm not talking about cockiness. I'm not talking about something that looks like faith. I'm talking about confidence in the word of God. And the more time you spend with Jesus, the more confidence you'll have. And you know, when you're confident in the Lord, you ain't mad at nobody. People can think you're crazy. You ain't mad at them. You just love them. The more time you spend with Jesus, the more confidence you'll have. You read over in Acts 4:13, it says they looked at Peter and John. They were preparing to persecute Peter and John because of the healing that had taken place for the lame man in Acts 3. Well, over in Acts 4:13, it says they looked over at Peter and John and they saw their confidence and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. They spent time with Jesus, and spending time with Jesus develops an inner confidence. You don't have to fake it. You don't have to act like, but when you spend time with him, a confidence will just come on you. You'll run off with the word like a dog with the bone refusing to let go. You'll see, I've got a promise of the word. I'm not going to let go. And so there's a great reward. There is a great reward in your confidence. And let me tell you this, the enemy is after your confidence tonight. He loves to discourage believers. And so often believers, we start out in confidence, but we don't stay that way. Wish I could get one amen there. I said, that's not the will of God. God wants us to start out in confidence, to remain in confidence, and to receive the blessing in confidence. I said, I wish I had an amen there. And many times the enemy will try to discourage us. He'll try to discourage us. What's he after? He's after that confidence. Because if your confidence goes, you know what will happen? Fear will come in. Now, just like I was telling you about Neil. Now, Neil would have whooped me that night. But Neil, and he started out confidence. That first punch he threw, I could tell had some confidence in it. After I showed him my karate card, he lost all his confidence. Fear entered in. I got a victory by forfeit, thank God. But the enemy wants to inject fear into what you're trusting God for. And the reason what I'm talking about is so important to you tonight is because fear comes in so many subtle ways. And fear is a destroyer of faith. And you can't embrace faith and fear at the same time. You can be fearful if you want and not have faith, or you can have faith and not be fearful, but one of them has to go. I said, they can't exist with each other. They're diametrically opposed to each other. And so when the scripture says, he himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. The next thing it says here in Hebrews is so that we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? That's the rest of the verse. So that we confidently. See, first the Lord says something. I will never forsake you. I will never leave you. So that we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. And you see, that's what he expects in every situation. Whatever you're facing tonight, whatever you're going through tonight, the Lord wants you to rise with confidence and be able to say, the Lord's my helper. You may be looking for a job, but if you're looking for a job, you ought to be able to say, hey, somebody said, you got a job yet? Not yet, but the Lord's my helper. My job's on the way. I have a job by faith. You could be sitting here tonight listening to this message, broke as you want to be. But confidence will come to you from the word of God. And so you'll say, the Lord's my helper. Yes. And you can't stay broke that way. I said, you won't stay broke. You may have nothing in your pocket tonight. But if you rise confidently and say, the Lord's my helper. Like Abraham said, Jehovah Jireh, he's my provider. He's always got a ram in the bush for me. Hey, God's my provider. God's never failed me. Psalm 37, David got in on it. David said, I was young, but now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen their seed begging bread. He had a confidence in the promise of God to provide. The Lord said, I'll never forsake you. That means I'm never going to let you starve. What financial issue do you have tonight? The Lord said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He's saying in your current circumstance, in your current situation, I am right now your God. I am right now your provider. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. I will not let you go down. I will not let you go under so that we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. So often when we start out in faith, the enemy tries to inject fear. And so he'll send a thought, a fiery dart, if you will. And if you're broke, the enemy will throw a dart at you and say, well, you're not going to be able to pay your rent. Well, you know what? You ain't going to be able to pay your mortgage. Well, you know what? You're not going to be able to buy that thing. And see, if you let those thoughts creep in, it'll hinder your faith. It'll drown your confidence. But see, the scripture said right there, so that we can confidently say. Everybody's saying something today in the body of Christ. But the question is, are you saying it with confidence? In other words, are you saying it with a faith confidence is what I'm talking about. You can make confessions all day long. But are you confessing with the confidence of faith? The Lord's my helper. You might have ailments in your body tonight. And the enemy will try and send you a thought of fear. See, you're not going to be healed. You're not healed. And if you listen to that, he'll rob your confidence. Oh, but if you'll cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, taking into captivity every thought. I wish I had one amen to make it obedient to Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:4. If you'll cast down imaginations and hold on to your confidence, the blessing will come. What is it that you need tonight? Your answer will have to be the same. The Lord is my helper. When a thought comes to you, you're not going to be healed. You have to rise with confidence and say, the Lord's my helper. I'm the healed of the Lord. I'm not trying to get healed. I already am healed. A thought comes to you, you're broke as you want to be. No, the Lord is my helper. I'm not broke. The Lord's my helper. I'm going over the top. I'm blessed beyond measure. I wish I had an amen in here. You're looking for an answer to some prayer tonight, but God's waiting to see your confidence to rise within you and say, the Lord, no, the Lord's my helper. I will not fear, not gonna fear, not gonna fear. The Lord is my helper. Over in Hebrews chapter 10. Everybody say, the Lord's my helper. 35, therefore do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. My brother and sister, we have to hold on to our confidence tonight. Your confidence, your true Bible confidence will produce a great reward. But you've got to remind yourself Remind yourself. You say, how often? Listen, as often as you need to, as often as a negative thought comes to you, over and over again, remind yourself, the Lord's my helper, and then say whatever situation it is. He's my helper with my body. He's my helper with my money. He's my helper with my children. He's my helper on my job. Where do you need his help? If you arise with confidence. 1 John 5:14 said, this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know we have the petition that we desired from him. Bible confidence. Oh, yeah. God wants you and I to be confident in him tonight. He wants you and I to recite his word. He wants you and I to put our trust, our full trust in him. And the more we get in the word, the more confidence will rise within us. And if you'll trust God tonight, doesn't matter what you're going through, say no to fear. Reject that fearful thought. Reject that fearful thought. Allow confidence to arise in you and say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? When evildoers came upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumbled and fell. Though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war arise against me, in spite of this, I shall be confident. David had learned the confidence of faith. And that same confidence and faith will carry you over every single time with every head bowed. Father, we've endeavored to share in this time. This goes by so fast, Father, what you laid on our heart. But we know that you've communicated with your people the message for tonight. And so we trust you to minister to hearts, minister to lives in this place through the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Now, with every head bowed still, you may be here and you may need the Lord's help in another way. While I've been speaking, during this short time that I've been speaking, something's been happening in your heart. And you're either here and you don't know the Lord, you've never received Christ as your Savior, or you're here and you know what it means to be born again. You've asked Christ to come into your heart before, but you know you're not living and walking for Christ right now tonight. You know you've received Christ before, but you're not living for him right now. You're not 100% living for Christ. And so we're talking to you because while we've been talking, something's been happening in your heart. And really, it's God appealing to you. The Bible says it's his kindness that leads us to repentance. And tonight is your night. If that describes you, you've never received Jesus, or you've received Jesus, but you're just not living for him. Tonight is your night, my brother and sister. God's calling you. Now, you have really two choices. You can sit there in a false arrogance and act like everything's all right. You can act like, no, there's nothing wrong. I'm shrugging off what I sense, and I'm going to act like everything's fine with me. When you know all the while that something's tugging at your heart, and that something is really someone, he's the Holy Spirit. God's looking for you. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. He's looking for you tonight. And so we're going to do just what the Lord instructed us to do, give you an opportunity to make it right for him to turn your life around, turn your situation around. You want his help in specific circumstances, yeah, but you need to let him help you with the condition of your life, the condition of your heart, with the biggest problem you're facing. And that's your own heart, your own life. And so if I'm talking to you tonight, I want to pray for you. I want you to lift your hands. Say, you're talking to me. Show me your hand so I can pray for you. Preacher, you're talking to me tonight. I know I'm not living right. The Lord's been dealing with me. I see your hand. Yeah. The Lord's been dealing with me. While you were talking, something's been going on in my heart. The Lord's speaking to me. And I know it seems frightening, you know, there's a lot of people here, but we are just one family in love. And the enemy would try to inject fear in you right now, get you to say, oh, just forget it, just forget it. Just going out to, hurry up and get to your car, hurry up and get out of here, hurry up and get out of here, get to your car. Don't let him do that to you. When God is calling, I see your hand. God is calling you tonight. He's trying to help you. And the question is, are you going to be arrogant? Or are you going to confidently trust in the mercy of God? The Bible says he's rich in mercy. You need prayer tonight and you know it. You know it. God knows it. The devil knows it. And in my spirit, I know it. Lift your hand. Let me pray for you. Let me do what God said. Yeah, I see your hand. He wants to help you. He's trying to get something to you. God doesn't want to take something from you. God wants to take something to you. He wants you to be able to really rise with a, yep, I see your hand. He wants you to be able to really rise with a Bible confidence, to be able to trust him, to be able to trust his word. And see, God's going to touch you. He's going to touch you tonight. He's going to honor your obedience. He's going to touch you in this place tonight. I want you to do something bold tonight. I'm just going to do what the Lord said. I want you to do something bold. I want you just to open your eyes, and I want everybody to stand upon your feet. And I want those of you who raised your hand, I want you to just slip out into the aisle, come down here and let me pray for you. Let the Lord help you. Just obey God. Just obey God. Nobody's condemning you in this place. We love you. We're not condemning you. Just obey God. Come on, let me pray for you. It's easy to get out now. It's easy to get out. It's easy to come down. Come on, you know God's dealing with you. You know God's talking to you. Come on, let me pray for you. Praise God. Praise God. Let me pray for you. Come on now. Come on. Obey God. You're going to obey God, or you're going to be arrogant and prideful about it? Let God help you tonight. Let God help you tonight. Come on now. You know God's dealing with you. Let the Lord help you. He's got something so good for you. Come on now. Come on. Come on. Come on. We love you. Come on. Come on. That's right. Let him help you. God's going to help you tonight. He's going to touch you tonight. He's going to change you in this place tonight. He's going to touch you and change you right here in this place tonight. Let him help you. Let him help you. Let him help you. Don't fake it. Don't fake it. You feel the pull of the Holy Spirit. You feel the tug. Don't fake that. Don't fake that. Now, come on. Respond to that. Respond to that in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Every obstacle is broken. Every hindrance to you coming is broken. In Jesus' name, come on and let God help you. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's going to help you tonight. God's going to touch you. He's going to touch you tonight. I'm talking about tonight. God's going to touch you in this place tonight. He is going to touch you tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. Lift one hand to the Lord. Lift one hand toward these believers. You all lift your hands to the Lord. Say this prayer out loud after me. Father, I come to you now in the name of Jesus, and I repent of my sins. And I ask you to take me in. Forgive me of my sins. Turn me around, Lord. Make me new again. I trust you with all of my heart. And you said if I would invite you in, that you would come in. So I have confidence now that as I have prayed, you have acted in my behalf. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. So, Father, we thank you for touching your people. Thank you, Father, in the name. Oh, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, thank you for your mighty power, your healing virtue and power in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for health, healing, deliverance in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you for touching this man. Touch him. Make him strong. Make him rise up with health and healing in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for touching him. Touch him right now. Touch him in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your mighty power in his behalf. His power, your power in him right now. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for touching your people. Oh, with your mighty power. Thank you for touching every one of them, Father God. Oh, with your mighty power. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your peace. Thank you for your promise. Thank you for your power. And every one of these, Father God, thank you for touching them tonight, Father God, in a way that they will leave here in a way different than they came. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And they'll know tonight they have been touched by the Lord, by the God of heaven. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for the reality of your presence, the reality of your word. Thank you for it, Lord. Oh, thank you for it. 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 Brother, I just speak healing to you in the end of your body in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I believe God to strengthen every limb, every fiber of your body to raise you up again in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I surround you with faith. I just speak healing to you, man, in Jesus' name, in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. I believe you're coming out of this chair. Hallelujah. You believe that? Praise God. I believe you're going to come out of this chair. Hallelujah. God's got a plan. God's got a purpose. God's got the power. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Our brother, this is our brother Paul. He's our prayer minister tonight. And Paul is going to take you guys to he's going to just take you briefly and pray with you. There's going to be our prayer partners back here, give you free material, answer any questions you have one by one. They're going to answer any questions that you all have and be able to pray with you individually. And what I want you to do is go with Brother Paul, and then those prayer workers will be back there ready to minister to you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's give all of our friends a big hand down here tonight. Praise God. We love you. We love you guys. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, we just point our hands toward these, hallelujah, and those receiving, watching, and listening some other way. Oh, in the name of Jesus, Father, thank you for your mighty power. Thank you for your mighty power. Thank you, Father God, for destroying the effects of the past. Thank you, Father, for health, healing, miracles, deliverance, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God. They'll never be the same after tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. And we give you the glory for it. Hallelujah. Come on, brother. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. What do you want God to do for you tonight?
I just want him to give me the faith and confidence that you were talking about.
Yeah.
To know that I'm going to get out of this chair again.
Yeah.
Be able to walk.
Yeah.
Do all the normal stuff. That I
What's wrong with your leg?
I really don't know.
Is it both of them or this one?
Well, this was my good leg, and I was having problems with this one.
You having problems with both of them then?
Yeah.
All right, just lift your hands to the Lord. Father, I just thank you for this brother right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. 1 Peter 2:24 is true. Thank you, who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, so we, being dead to sin, could live unto righteousness, and by whose stripes he was healed in the name of Jesus. We speak your healing virtue to this brother. We speak healing over this brother in the name of Jesus, Father. Thank you for your mighty power to deliver. Thank you for touching these legs. Thank you for touching every muscle, every fiber, every muscle, every fiber, every muscle, Father God. We thank you for touching this brother right now in Jesus' name. We believe in your healing virtue upon him now. Your healing power is upon him right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Brother, what's going on with you? What's going on? Can you sense anything different? You feel something happening in your leg?
Yeah. Just haven't been able to advance this leg.
Yeah. Well, try and do something you couldn't do before. Try and do something that you couldn't do before. You're all right. Take your time. Do something. Come on, let's believe. Come on, we're not spectators. We're participators. Hallelujah. Father, we believe. We believe with this brother. Hallelujah. Praise God. We believe with him. Hallelujah. Thank you for your healing power, for your healing virtue. Thank you for it, Father God. Thank you for raising this man up. Thank you for strengthening his knees, his ankles, his thigh bones, every muscle in his body. Thank you for it, Father God. Oh, Father, you've got the power to do it, and you're willing to do it, and you've promised to do it. And so we thank you for the reality of your word. Hallelujah. Just keep doing something that you weren't able to do before, brother. Just keep doing something you weren't able to do before. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You want us to help you? 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 Do you want us to help you stand? You want to keep believing? You want to keep believing? I know God's doing something. You can keep believing if you want. We don't want you to have any pressure. If you want us to help you stand, we'll help you. Don't be under any pressure. We want you to feel that. What do you feel in your heart? We know you're believing. We know you're believing. God's at work. We know God's at work. You feel like it's getting better. Okay. We're going to let you keep believing. We're going to let you keep believing. That's what you want us to do, right?
That's right.
We'll let you keep believing. How many believe with this brother? I believe you're going to walk down here on a Sunday night or a Sunday morning and walk down here, and several of us are going to remember who you are and say, the Lord touched that brother. That is the brother that was in that wheelchair that night. I believe that. Do you believe that?
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Well, keep the switch of faith turned on. And oftentimes when we pray, something begins that you have to have an initial confidence in, and then you continue to build your faith in that, stand on that, quote scripture about that. I believe you're going to walk right down here in front of us. Amen. All right, brother, we love you. Praise God. Hallelujah. You want to go and get some free materials with them?
Yeah.
Okay, come on. These brothers are going to help you right here. One of my brothers. Yeah. There we go. Just with them. Praise God. Now, you make sure you stop me. When you walk down here, I want you to make sure if I don't see you, you stop me. How many believe with this brother? Point your hand toward him. Hallelujah. Thank you for him, Father. Thank you for raising him up. Thank you for raising our other brother up out of that wheelchair. Father, we believe in miracles and your mighty power, healing and deliverance in him, in our other brother. Thank you for health and healing and deliverance. And thank you for what you've begun. You've begun, Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in him tonight shall perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Confident something began in both of them tonight. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Hallelujah. How many know this is where you don't let fear enter in? This is where you keep your confidence. This is where you keep the switch of faith turned on. Hallelujah. You may not be in a wheelchair tonight, but you may be going through some other situation. And when you leave here, keep the switch of faith turned on so that you don't let fear enter in, and keep your confidence. Amen. And God's going to bring you out of your situation too. And he's going to bring them out of those wheelchairs.
Yes.
I said, amen. Hallelujah. So, Father, we bless you, honor you, reverence you with all of our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. You may want prayer for something else. Our prayer team is coming now, and you may want prayer for something else. And as they come down here, listen, come on forward if you need prayer. Do we have any prayer partners still out here? We may not. Any of you prayer partners who are off duty, come on down here. Let's see. No, they're all back there, it looks like. Okay. So if you need prayer, what you need to do is tap one of the ushers. They'll take you right to that room where all the prayer room workers are, and they can pray with you about anything you like, and you won't leave here like you came either. Amen? All right, lift one hand to the Lord. Father, we've endeavored to follow you, and we know you're up to something mighty. Hallelujah, in this place tonight. Glory to God. Something has begun, Father, that we are not going to let go of, Father, till we see these two men walking down here, hallelujah, in the victory. We thank you. They have it tonight. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Now, Father God, thank you as we prepare to go. Thank you for keeping us safe. Thank you for guarding us in our travels home till we see each other once again. Thank you for keeping us safe under your mighty hand. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Praise God. Well, if you're here, one last thing before we go. If you're a first-time guest, and Pastor Marvin promised you a gift on behalf of our senior pastors in the church. So if you would, go with our connection team members now. They're going to give you that gift. They're not going to hold you long. They're going to hold you long enough to thank you and give you that great gift, and you'll be glad you went to get that. So go with them now, and let us all thank all of these first-time guests for coming tonight to the house of the Lord. How many believe God started something good down here tonight? He started something miraculous down here tonight. How many believe God's going to see it through to completion? Keep the switch of faith turned on, not just for you, but for them as well. All right, you are dismissed. God bless you. Hallelujah.